Good morning, everyone. So 2 weeks ago, we looked into the book of Colossians, and we looked at some of the one another statements that Paul used to encourage the church in Colossae to practice love with each other, even in their differences. Paul was not specific about what kind of philosophy was causing tension within the church, only that it was coming from outside the church. And the people inside the church started getting at odds with each other. So Paul writes to the church to look like Jesus as they interact with each other, which includes bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and teaching and admonishing one another. Not easy words to digest when we are in the midst of conflict. We want others to bear with us and our ideas. We want others to forgive us if we happen to make a few missteps in our conflict. We want to be the ones who teach others from our perspective. We want to be the ones who warn others where maybe they have missed the mark. And we don't always want to be the one to have to learn from somebody else who thinks different than me, especially when we are in conflict with each other. We don't want to be warned that maybe some of the things that I'm thinking my way might be too extreme by someone else who I am in tension with, even within our own church. And this is so why it's so important to start by putting on the attributes of Jesus, of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience as we bear with one another, all wrapped up in showing love to one another despite our differences. That includes mutual conversations, discernment, and wisdom that needs to happen as we, instead of rejecting what the other person is saying, we start listening better at what goes on. All wrapped up in showing love. And this is what Paul is saying to the Colossians and what loving one another looks like in their context. But today we want to look at a couple of other one another statements that Paul uses as he writes to the Galatian church. And the story of the conflict in the Galatian church is not identical to that of the Colossian church. And therefore the purpose of Paul's writing was different. His main message was different. And his one another statements to each other were all different as well. Paul encourages those inside the church who are different, but he says what each one another needs to be slightly differently. They all still come from the core of Jesus' command that his followers need to learn to love one another. Galatia is a region in modern-day Turkey. And in the book of Acts, we see that it is this region that Paul visited on his first missionary journey to share the good news about Jesus Christ to the known world. Paul, who was once a devout Jewish follower of the Old Testament laws and rituals, found salvation and freedom when he had a personal encounter with the risen Jesus. He went to Antioch, and he went to study. And it seems that, once again, he studied the law and the prophets to discover that they didn't necessarily, it wasn't about the law, and it wasn't about the rules, and it wasn't about the rituals, but it was about Jesus. Reading his Old Testament, he found Jesus. It was not in a strict obedience to these rituals that made someone right with God. Jesus' life and death and resurrection fulfilled the law and the prophets, and belief in Jesus brought about freedom and salvation. This was a loving gift of grace from an almighty God, not a checklist of things that we have to do to gain approval from that almighty God. It appears that Paul also discovered that this good news was not just for the descendants of Abraham. The reconciling invitation of grace was for all people who chose to believe in Jesus. And with this knowledge, Paul and some of his friends were commissioned by the Antioch church to spread the good news to the world, and one of their first stops was the region of Galatia. And the audience that received this good news were mostly marginalized individuals and families that were not actually descendants of Abraham. They were not Jewish. And they received the message of Jesus, which included the message of love, the message of grace, the message of peace, the message of hope, the message of faith, and the message of freedom. They chose to believe, and in the cities throughout Galatia, small communities of believers were starting to gather together to worship and pray and learn and live differently than the world that they had come from. They had found freedom in Jesus, and they followed him as the way. The Holy Spirit would be their counselor and their guide along the journey of life. And Paul continued to move on to other cities, and behind him came more Jesus followers who grew up, but these ones grew up in the Jewish tradition. Their understanding of gaining closeness to God included the rites and the rituals of the law. The idea that the Holy Spirit would guide seemed quite vague and quite nebulous. What do you mean the Holy Spirit would guide? How can you know for sure you're following if you don't know what the rules are? How can anyone know if they are truly following the Holy Spirit or if they're actually following personal ideologies or maybe their own thoughts? And Paul uses this term flesh to define ideas, motives, actions that come from within a person. The very basic example would be the actions of rage and malice would be a of the flesh type of thought, while gentleness and peace would be an of the spirit type of action. What about the actions and the attitudes that were maybe a little less obvious than rage or peace? How can you tell? So their message basically sounded probably something like this. Yes, Jesus has set you free, but that's really only the start. If you really want to continue a right relationship with God, you need to add some of these Jewish observances to your beliefs and your practice, specifically maybe around the ideas of circumcision, strict observances of Sabbath, and many of the laws around food. If you do those, then you're already starting on this path that will help you to understand what grace and freedom really is all about. And it appears that many of these new followers of Jesus thought, well, that kind of makes sense. These people came from the same God. They understand maybe things a little better than we do. Maybe we should really be adding these things. And it looks like they were moving from this concept of servitude into freedom and then into a different form of servitude. The logic did seem to make sense. And these longtime followers of God of Israel must know something about how to follow properly. And the issue was not just happening in Galatia, it was happening in all the early churches. Factions and divisions were erupting within the early church. Groups were picking side, and it was starting to get quite tense. So something had to be done. And in the book of Acts, we find that the leaders of the early church was trying to discern how much, if any, of the Old Testament rules and rituals applied to those who were new to their faith, including Paul and some of the disciples who walked with Jesus on this earth. They came together and they had a little bit of a summit, Committing their time to prayer and paying attention to the Holy Spirit, they came to a solution that satisfied both sides. Rituals are not necessary to faithfully follow Jesus. Strict adherences to rules are not necessarily to faithfully follow Jesus. But the spirit of the law of some of those rules are still valuable, which is also kind of what Jesus said when he was talking about the way that the Pharisees had the rules around Sabbath. So letters were written to the outlying churches to convey this message that there is freedom, there is grace. You don't need to follow every spiritual act, spiritual ritual that is found in the Old Testament. But there are some things that you need to keep clear about. And Paul's letter to the Galatians may have been written about the same time. And if it wasn't, it was at least around the same idea coming out of that gathering with these tensions and this gathering in mind. Paul's response was to tell the Galatian church about how being saved by faith is in stark contrast to religiously observing the law. Everyone who has faith in Jesus belongs to God's family. Faith in Jesus set those in the Galatian church free from their sinful nature and now are free to also live by the spirit nature. But how can you trust that they are keeping in step with the Spirit? It's not a set of rules or rituals that need to follow, but how do you know? And Paul says that there's a set of markers that can be seen how they treat one another in the church as when we know that we are actually following the Spirit. Paul shares two positive one another statements, or each other statements, and two negative statements that apply to both sides. And the two positive statements are: use your freedom to serve one another in love. In other words, don't use your freedom to serve the flesh. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. That's how we know that we are actually walking in step with the Spirit, is that we are free to serve one another. And then, of course, he follows that up with the Old Testament law that says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I just love Paul, and I would love to get into all these nuances. He says, don't follow the law, but here's a really good law that from the Old Testament saying, love your neighbor. So it's that little dig, that, and all these words that work together. And then further down in the passage, we didn't read that today, but in Galatians 2, it says this: carry each other's burdens. If someone in your community does sin, don't add a burden of better rules that they must follow, but instead carry one another's burden. That's not following the law, that's fulfilling the law. Notice that the words serve and carry are not passive, and they're also not self-centered. They are active and focused on the needs of others. It is like Jesus washing his disciples' feet, including Judas, who would betray him, Peter, who would deny him, and the rest, who would all abandon him. This is what demonstrates that we are free in Christ. We have the freedom to serve one another. It's not pointing to the sin and prescribing some rules or a better solution. It is the heavy lifting that comes with continually caring for those in the church family that miss the mark and live sometimes in shame and sometimes in pain and too often with the pain that they cause in others. But we carry each other's burden. We do not add to their burden. And if we do this, we are demonstrating that we don't need to follow the law to be faithful, but we are fulfilling the law by being faithful followers of Jesus and his example. And then in between these statements, in between use your freedom to serve one another in love, and then carry each other's burden, we have these two comments. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will destroy each other. A few weeks back, we were looking at Peter's talk about show hospitality to one another. Be the hospital for one another when you're as part of the church. And biting and devouring one another feels very opposite to that. Paul could see where this conflict was leading, and it wasn't going to end well. One side usually doesn't come out the victor. Usually both sides are losers. And so he says, do not bite and devour one another. Even in conflict, even when you don't agree, even when you're doing these things, this is not the way that you are showing that you are walking in the Spirit. Two different people this week used this term, because I don't think that I think we're better at the church than outwardly biting and devouring one another. But someone said, death by 1,000 paper cuts. And I wonder sometimes if that's the way that we are slowly biting and devouring some people in the church. It's not a deep wound, but it's a constant wound. It's harder to defend sometimes. And he says, if you are free, how you show your freedom in the Spirit is not biting and devouring each other. A little while later in Galatians 5:26, it also says this, do not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This idea of conceited is making everything about me, everything about the way that I see things. And provoking, in some ways, is saying, I want my church to look my way, and so we push for it. We provoke people who maybe think differently towards that. Envying is being jealous that somebody else is getting their church their way, and I am not getting a say in that. But we are meant to be Christ's church, Jesus' way. And the problem with saying that from the pulpit is I catch myself thinking so much about the church I want to be, the church I want to be a part of, the church that looks the way that is most for me. But it says, do not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. As we walk in the Spirit, as we see what freedom in the Spirit is like, it means not provoking and not envying each other. And in between these four one another's, or each other's statements, around tension that comes this understanding of freedom in Christ, Paul inserts two little lists, another kind of big lists. He has acts or works of our sinful nature. And if we're working for something, we're serving something. And that list included things like sexual sins, religious sins, drinking sins, and saying, if you're doing this, you're not in step with the Spirit. You're back to serving your old life. And in that, he has social sins, which is the largest group, which includes words like hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy. And I always find it interesting that dissensions, factions, discord are showing that we are not actually in step with the Spirit when those are the things that come out in the church. Those are the things that show that maybe we're not always in step with the Spirit. And in contrast, he puts in another list. Instead of works, they are fruits. They're things that grow. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. And I think we often read this verse without recognizing it is in the middle of four very one another statements that is all about conflict within the church, tensions within the church, ways that we are trying to understand our church, our way. And when we are free to walk in the Spirit as we interact with each other, we see love and joy and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. It's not just a life, a list of things that is expanded upon. Scott McKnight in his commentary says this: in the context of church conflict, the observer will find the manifestation of the flesh in such things as factionalism, and will find that the Spirit, when in control, will produce such things as love and patience. In other words, we interpret these lists incorrectly if we take them out of their context and pretend they are complete listings of either the flesh or the Spirit. These are the kind of things that Paul wants to focus on because he is concerned with conflict. If he had written this to the Ephesians, he would have given them two different lists. We can tell we are following God when these fruits of the Spirit are evident in how we treat each other in the church, even in our tensions, and maybe especially in our tensions and conflicts. There is an epidemic of there's an epidemic of mistrust often in many churches. We don't think that that others are going to make the right choice. How can we trust that they are walking in the Spirit? Because they don't think like me. How can we ensure they have the right choices with freedom that they have been given? And we often create factions and we pick sides and then try to impose my right way to follow Jesus on others instead of trusting the leading of the Holy Spirit in one another's lives, with the one another's to help us define together what that actually looks like. And Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And according to Paul, part of that looks like having the freedom to serve one another in love.